F1A, number 22A.
We discussed this morning how, through inductive method, we arrive from a biblical text to a matrix, like in the prophets to the Christ matrix. Now, from here, we can go further and can ask ourselves, now, what can I do with the matrix? What is the practical application of a matrix? And so the very first thing that one can do is to define to ourselves in the categories of science the matrix elements. Now, what are matrix elements? We have seen at the beginning of this week that matrix elements are those values which are defined by a point of intersection of a vertical category with a horizontal category. That which we can also call a box. Each point of intersection is within a box of that matrix. And so, as we have now defined the indices through the capitalized terms, we can now define each point of intersection through the capitalized terms, and no more through biblical names. Therefore, what has appeared as Hosea is now translated into a scientific language, which is now called the Word as the Word in the Christ matrix. So we always have to keep in mind that the roof category over the whole of all the 16 prophets is the Christ. And under the impact of the Christ, we can define now those 16 prophets in the modern language. So instead of Hosea, we have Word as Word, whereby always the first one, the first term, is in the absolute sense, and the second one is pinpointing the relative standpoint. So Word as a Word means Word from the vertical and the Word then in the horizontal. So Joel is Word as Christ. We come to Word as Christianity, which is Amos, and then Word as Science, which is Isaiah. So instead of having just biblical names, we have translated those biblical names again into something very scientific, namely into the system of Christian Science. That's naturally something that is very important, because the word of a term or the name of a prophet doesn't really convey very much by itself, but when we see that the whole message of a prophet can be expressed in the categories of Christian Science, then they gather naturally much more meaning. So that point of intersection is important. When we were reading in the study aid what the matrix is, I made a note and said at the end of the week I want to point it out again what the matrix means. We had here on page 96, if you have it here, you can open it, but it doesn't really matter very much. On page 96, there, where in the middle of the page we had matrix elements, we had there as a second sentence, first is a matrix, is a rectangular arrangement of elements. An element is a primary component. And this is interesting. So an element, the point of intersection, is something primary. Though it is a component, It is composed of the vertical and the horizontal category. But when they meet and when they combine, and therefore it's something compound, it becomes a primary element. An element is a primary component in the sense that it is not possible to divide an element and at the same time retain the properties which are relevant to the associative context. Perhaps I have to explain that sentence and then we see the meaning of it. So a matrix element, one of the boxes, is a primary component. Why is it a component? Because it's composed of the vertical and horizontal. And it becomes a new value. It becomes a new value, and not just an, it's not just additive that two values are put together in addition, but that they form a completely new primary component, something completely new. And this in the sense that it is not possible to divide an element, so we can no more divide the word as the word and say we divide it up in the word in absolute Christian Science, in the word in Christian Science. They have become one compound, a primary compound. So we can no more divide an element and at the same time retain the properties which are relevant to the associative context. So we cannot take the text of Hosea and say, look here, this verse is the word from the absolute sense, and this verse here is saying something about the word from the relative sense. We can no more divide it up in those two categories. They form something completely new. They form the message of Hosea, which naturally is a compound of the absolute sense and the relative sense, but they give a whole story, they give a whole subject that can no more be split up into its part without that it lose its associative context. So, in this way we must see that every box or every point of intersection is a new value and a compound value, and therefore is something new by itself that does not repeat itself anymore. So we get those primary compounds, and they are always in associative context. They are always in associative context with the whole prophetic age, with all the prophets. And that is something we have to see, that therefore a matrix gives us a model of a structure. Now, if you have your study aid before you, I would like to open it up at page 115, where we have various definitions of structure. There, on the top, we have the definition of structure. It says it comes from structura, to arrange, to fit together, ordering. Therefore, through a matrix, we are ordering the whole subject of the prophetic age. This is what the structure wants to achieve, that suddenly all those prophets are seen in a definite order, so that we cannot no more say, well, it doesn't matter if the Bible has the order of the prophets in another order. Each prophet stands alone. Each prophet has a text of its own. Each prophet is complete by its own. That we can no more say. We must see that they are not complete alone. They are only, they take only on a meaning in the whole context of a structure. Therefore, they will show us the ordered arrangement of a structure, and therefore the ordered way of our consciousness if we want to practice the subject of the prophets. Then we have an ordered arrangement. We know we have to build first on the word verticals, then on the Christ verticals, then on the Christianity verticals, and then on the science verticals, and that without that order, each prophet really does not make sense. Just think, as we have now in mind, Habakkuk, for instance, if we would just take Habakkuk as a single prophet and say, he's given us a prophecy, and we would read that prophecy, and at the end of that prophecy, we remember everything was still in desolation. The land was still laid waste, and we would say, what a funny kind of prophecy. Everybody can prophesy that everything goes down and is made desolate. So that would not be a prophecy really by itself. It only has meaning and has big meaning when it is related really to the preceding prophet and to the succeeding prophet, Zephaniah. And it only makes really sense when one look at the whole vertical and horizontal and sees that it is just one aspect within the whole. And that is what the definition of structure then really wants to bring out. For instance, Webster is quite a good definition. He says a structure is the interrelationships of parts, say, of each prophet, of parts as dominated by the general character of the whole. So each prophet must be dominated by the general character of the Christ idea, because it's a Christ matrix. So each prophet must not only give his prophecy, but must give that prophecy which fits into the Christ idea, and not into a Christianity matrix or a science matrix. That's why these prophets, though they are showing a 4x4 matrix, cannot be compared with, say, the 16 chapters on the textbook, because the 16 chapters on the textbook have a different roof category, namely science, and therefore every chapter under that roof category of science gives a completely different message than when that 4x4 matrix is under the roof category of the Christ. So along that question, how do they fit to each other, is a wrong question. They should not fit. They should not fit. That's the point. Instead of constantly saying how they fit and how they correlate, we should see how they do not correlate. And therefore to see that the matrices, a Christ matrix, a Christianity matrix, and a science matrix have completely different goals in view. They want to bring out something completely different and not the same. What is indicating a sameness is only the structure, the system of the 4x4. But that is a common denominator, that they are 4x4. Also the epistle is 4x4, the textbook 4x4, but they are differentiated, and not made equal, differentiated by the roof category. And so their message must be completely different. We perhaps take also the other one, the other definition here. Structures appear wherever elements combine into a meaningful whole. There must be a meaningful whole. We can see that was a step further than just to translate biblical symbolism in metaphysical ideas. That then we said, now let's go further and see what is really the order of this idea. What then, how can we then classify them into categories? And we said, you remember that we said, we have only this one little prophet analyzed, and now we must say in which bigger whole has this one little prophet its right standpoint, its right place value. So it's always this in structuralism, that you don't analyze the subject itself, but that you are reaching out for that frame which is bigger than the prophet, than the text. So structuralism appears whenever elements combine into a meaningful whole. So each prophet is only seen properly when it combines into the whole prophetic age. Only then can it be seen. And whose arrangement follow definite laws? Can you see how they follow definite laws? All those 16 prophets, now we can see, they follow the law of the word vertical through the four, the Christ vertical through the four, the Christianity vertical through the four, the science vertical through the four. So we have a guideline. Therefore, all we always only have to know are our root notions, the seven and the four and the four, and with those 15 root notions, actually we can always combine it so that there can be shown forth a structure. So here we just use those four, the word, Christ, Christianity and science, plus two levels, absolute Christian science and Christian science. So we only actually use four and two root notions, and with those four and two, with those six root notions, we can define the whole Christ matrix. Can you see what science does? Science always makes things simple. Naturally, and I repeat that for the nth time, this is only possible when we have the tonality of the capitalized terms. Else we just play around with terms. Only we play around with terms. So yes, the word, yes, after the word comes the Christ and Christianity and science. And so we play words, and is a word puzzle, nothing more than that. Yes. Another definition, just to make it more explicit, says, a structure is the sum total of relationships. It's a sum total of relationships, you see, not the sum total of factors, of elements. That would be a sum total of elements would just be atomistic thinking, heaping up elements on elements without any relationship. So structure is mostly concerned with relationships, and those relationships which maintains the communication among the various parts of a whole. So we can always see that a prophet like Habakkuk is always related somehow with every other prophet, that without any, only with the relationship with all the prophets and taking into consideration all the prophets, then Habakkuk is really seen in its proper place and in its proper message. That's the point of seeing structure. So matrix is a model, a way of symbolizing the meaning of a structure. It is also perhaps here interesting to take up another point that always comes up in discussion, namely, did those prophets, those 16 prophets, prophesy in the order that they appear now in the matrix or also in the Bible? Is there a chronological parallel in the prophecies. Meaning, was Hosea the first to prophesy? Then after Hosea came Joel, said, now I'm going to prophesy. Then came Amos and said, now I'm going to prophesy. And Isaiah came and said, now I am going to prophesy. Did that order through the whole of the 16 prophets, is that order a chronological order as well? Not only a spiritual order as we have seen now, but is it also a chronological order? Did the divine idea manifest itself exactly in that order or not? Now, we can know today very easily that that is not so. That the prophets were prophesying not in the chronological order as we have the prophets in the Bible. And when one takes other older Bibles, say the Septuaginta, you call it Septuaginta. Yeah. It is that Bible that was translated around about 300 BC from the Hebrew into Greek by 70, that's the Septuagint, 70 scholars in Alexandria in Egypt. They translated the Old Testament into Greek, and that's why it was called something which had to do with Septa, with 70, Septuaginta. We call it Septuaginta, and you know what the English expression is. I just don't know at this moment. But the point is not how those that is named, but what they did when they translated it and published their Bible in Greek. The order of the prophets was not the one that we have today. So you can see the order of those as we have them in the Bible is an order that must have been defined long, long afterwards, after the prophets had prophesied. So there must have been, and one thinks it was a prophetic school that was in the line descending from Ezekiel over Zechariah, that that prophetic school were rather the inspired people that canonized then afterwards the prophets in the order as they are. So chronological order has nothing to do with spiritual order. And this is quite a question mark, why that should be so. But the same thing you will have, or we have, is with the epistles. That the epistles are also canonized in the order as we have them in the Bible, but they were not written chronologically as they are in the Bible. They have no chronological order. They have spiritual order. Yes? And the same thing we can see with the textbook. The textbook also has a spiritual order in the matrix, but the chapters written therein are not written or are not written in a chronological or not printed in a chronological order. Say that Mrs. Eddy first was writing prayer, and then atonement and Eucharist, and then marriage, and then spiritualism, and so on. Not at all. You will find in all those 224, I think there are editions that went right through the press, that there was no spiritual order there that would fit into the present matrix. Only 1902, she changed all those chapters so that they fitted into the spiritual order of a science matrix. So it is not so that a matrix is being born, so to say, in a spiritual order which coincides with a chronological order, with a time order. And this is quite a question. Why shouldn't it be the other way around? Why shouldn't it be so that actually the divine idea, the Christ idea, would have said, now I'm going to tell something first about the first building block of Hosea, the Word as the Word. And then I'm going to unfold that idea to the Word as the Christ. Why not? This would seem very logical, but it never happened that way. It never happened that way. Why not? And this is something that is only understandable when one sees what a matrix really is. A matrix is not a chronological order. It is a structure. And in a structure, you can't say it begins here and ends there. A structure and a matrix is one compound whole. It's like a globe where you can't say it begins somewhere. It is a compound oneness and not a linear development, like the days of creation. In the days of creation, you can have a linear development, but it's a spiritual development, whereas the moment we come to the numerals of infinity, and then afterwards to the synonymous terms, to the capitalized terms, they have no more a beginning and an end, an alpha and an omega. They are what they are. And therefore, we can see, just as in Mrs. Eddy's time, when she wrote the textbook, that the new idea, the revelation, just shone through first with great light, but not in a scientific way. Just first in a terrific atmosphere where she tried to word what she has seen. And only as she pondered that whole revelation more clearly, little by little, she began to put structure into that revelation. First she put a little bit of structure in each chapter. So up to the 50th edition, you not even can see a proper order in a chapter. Only with the 50th edition one gets order in a chapter. And only then in 1902 with the 224th edition or whatever it was, she put the chapters in the order as we have them now. So you can see she considered her revelation not a revelation of a moment, but a revelation that really took her whole lifetime. And her whole lifetime is one thing. And in that whole lifetime, she began to order her ideas in the textbook so that it became a matrix.